Amen and amen. If you can kneel, please do so. We'll start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this blessed Sabbath day. Thank you for being with us last night as we gathered for study and praise and prayers. And thank you for blessing us with your presence today. Thank you also for the forgiveness of sin, cleansing us from all unrighteousness, and blessing us with the latter rain, so that we can go forth and do what your prophecy says your son's bride will do. We also need courage and faith and understanding and discernment. But thank you for being with us throughout this service and blessing everyone in attendance, whether they're on the phone or in the room here or listening to the recording later on. And thank you so much for the love that you have bestowed upon us. And blessing everyone on our prayer list. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. I want to welcome the new people. We got a few new names I've seen in here. Some are very difficult to pronounce, but I guess there are different countries, and that's good. If you're new, scroll down underneath the chat room or click one of the links above the chat room for the notes. We're on question 21. And the question is, John saw one of the beast's heads, as it were what? And Revelation 13, verse 3 says, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. So here we see the prophecy is telling us that the beast would be destroyed with the sword. The sword, of course, being military in this instance. And, if you go a little, further. The microphone, I never change the levels on my mic. It may be your speakers, because like if someone was talking earlier, they had a loud microphone. So, anyway, let me just double check something here. Yeah, because I'm way ahead in the studies on this one, and I just want to make sure I'm in the right spot here. Okay, yeah. Yeah, because I'm already in study number 23, I think. Okay. Are you using a laptop there, Joseph? You might want to try using headphones or something. But anyway. As I was saying, that the destruction will be at the end of its reign of exactly 1,260 years of killing Christians, just as we learned the prophecy predicted earlier on in the studies. But how does this beast receive its wound? And in Revelation 13, verse 10 says, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity, and he that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. The prophecy here predicts, obviously, that the beast must go into captivity and die there. And then we find that history does tell us that the Pope was removed from the Vatican. He was placed in exile, and he did die there. And it actually says in the London Catholic Truth Society back in 1910 on page 1, it says, half of Europe thought that with the Pope, the papacy was dead. And it can also be found in Joseph Rickaby's book, The Modern Papacy, on Lectures of History and Religion, and he's, of course, lecture number 24. So, yes, this is only one pope dying, and some are tempted to think that this is where it ends. But if you study prophecy as it were written, we know that his death was not the main fulfillment. Men die every day. No need to prophesy that. I mean, however, with his exile came the prophesied political death. In fact, every pope thereafter, until the appointed time, of course, had no political power. In the appointed time, we'll get into later, I think it's the next question. But Napoleon successfully removed the papal office from political power. And I remember growing up as a Roman Catholic, you know, because I left the Catholic Church when I was 29, when I started reading the Bible. And I realized something strange because, you know, obviously the nuns and then, of course, the priests later on, because I was only in Catholic school for the first 4 years. Our parents pulled us out because it was just too expensive. And plus, it was answer to my prayer. I mean, those nuns were terrorizing me. It was just crazy what they were doing. I was having bad dreams and everything about it. But the thing was, when they started talking about Napoleon and calling him the Antichrist, and I always thought that was a bit odd, you know, because, and I had some weird reasonings in the back of my mind why I thought it was odd, and I mean, I was just a kid, yeah, so I just didn't even, and I never could understand the reasons for his hand inside of his clothing until later on you know, figure out all these hand signals that they do. But anyway, this happened exactly 42 months or 1,260 years or a time and dividing of a time. Well, actually, a time and times, yeah, so that's 3.5 years, which this is actually after the papacy began, its powerful reign as the woman on the beast. And not only did the Pope himself go into captivity by the military on that day, and later did, in fact, die, because of the military strength of Napoleon, the Vatican's political strength was mortally wounded. But check out question number 22. It says, what then happened to his deadly wound? And Revelation 13:3 again. Okay. See Revelation 13:3. Let me see. I can turn up this. Because I don't really want to. I can't turn up the mic anymore. Main reason being is it'll be too loud for the videos I do. I can't keep changing the levels up and down, up and down, up and down. So Revelation 13:3. It says, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." So, as we just saw with the previous question in the study, the deadly wound was given to the papacy by Napoleon in the exact year 1798. Which also proves the people that claim that the week of Daniel is actually 7 actual years. Seven actual days. Or the 2300 year prophecy is only 2300 days. Or the 1260 year prophecy is only 1260 days. And all this other. None of the stuff matches up the way they say it. It can only match up in their strange movies like Left Behind, or where they come up with all this weird falderall and these strange theologies like a secret rapture or 7-year trib or 3.5-year trib or a preterist view of Antichrist, like he's going to show up at the end of time, even though the Bible that was written 2,000, well, the New Testament portion that was written nearly 2,000 years ago actually says the Antichrist was active at that time in the book of John, well, 1 John. And so none of their prophetic statements match up, and that's why it's so confusing. When I was a young kid and I was studying prophecy, because I just had a desire, I guess, from our father. But I was Catholic, and so it was like so confusing. No one made any sense. But then when I left the church and started studying it the way the Bible had it written, and started going into the history books, which is actually called a study of eschatology, where you take historic events and match them up with prophetic events, well, then everything fell into place exactly as the prophet Daniel said. And then I realized why they started calling Daniel a false prophet. You know, the Jews, and then to this day they call him a false prophet, mainly because of the week of Daniel, because at the end of the week of Daniel is when Stephen is stoned. That's also when probation ended for the Jewish nation, and they didn't like that prophecy, so they, of course, you know, kicked him to the curb. So anyway, even though the papacy was politically destroyed by Napoleon in 1798, the Vatican still continued as a church. But she was completely stripped of her civil and political power, just as the prophecy predicted. Which was kind of strange if you think about it, because had the people that jumped in that Mayflower and started, the United States of America in 1776, if they would have just waited a few more decades, everything would have, worked out, and America then would never have come. So at least in, at that time period. But it did. You know, the Lord had them come anyway and do what they did. And then, of course, we're here now. Most of us, the majority here, are in America. And it did start as a lamb, horned beast, and all this other stuff. But then we'll get into that later. But then, so 1798 comes along. The Vatican is still a church, but it no longer has its political power, even though I've got all sorts of statements from the Vatican before Mussolini and Gasparri got together, where they make all these boisterous claims and all. It's just crazy. They never really gave up their political power in their mind. And because of that, they influenced a lot of political leaders, so that by the time 1929 came around, we see the Italian government recognizing Vatican City once again as an independent state. This political move was again made, it actually made the Pope a religio-political power on earth, or a church and state, again, just as the prophecy predicted. And the mortal wound that was administered in 1798 by Napoleon was supposed to be, healed. And now we see the, specifically, they're actually specifically working towards that end. And notice how the newspapers of that day actually used prophetic language without even realizing it. This first one's from the San Francisco Chronicle on February 11th, 1929. It says, Mussolini and Cardinal Gasparri sign historic Roman pact. And I have no doubt, by the way, yeah, I see them using prophetic language, and I'll read it here in a moment, but I have no doubt that some of the Jesuits were involved in penning this article, because it's kind of like a snub towards the Christians, because they understand prophecy sometimes better than some of the Christians out there, and the main reason being is so they can hide their agenda better. This is why you see the Roman Catholic Church using Muslims today to kill Christians, because the prophecy says they would start killing again. But they can't just go out and start killing again, because if they do that, everybody's going to know that the Pope's the Antichrist, or one of them anyway, right? And so they can't do that, just like they did in Hitler's day. They used Hitler to kill the Jews. It's kind of like a dry run. And so today, the killing started up again, only it looks like, oh, Islam's doing it, and everybody says Islam's the Antichrist and all this other stuff. But the problem with that theology is there's gobs of prophetic events that Islam simply cannot fulfill. But every single solitary prophecy that speaks of Antichrist in the scriptures, from cover to cover, only the popes can fulfill them. Their structure, the things they do, the statements they make, even right down to the fact that they're homosexual. I mean, the prophet Daniel even goes into detail about that. And so, but just like with most people today, you give them three or four prophecies, they think, oh, that's the Antichrist. And so they look at, like, Ronald Reagan. Wow, you spell his name using gematria with, like, ABC, like A equals 1 and Z equals 26, and spell Ronald Reagan, you get 666, right? Well, that's the scuttlebutt. Or Microsoft Windows. Okay, that's the beast all of a sudden, right? Yeah, but what about all the other prophecies that point to the Antichrist? Anybody could, pick out a few prophecies and point to one entity and say it's Antichrist, but that's not how the Bible's written. But that's how the people believe it. If you got a salesman on the pulpit, that's how it's going to work. The people are going to go for whatever he says. And, you got to be Bereans. We all have to be Bereans. And this is one of the reasons I believe my wife and I did so much church hopping after we left the Catholic Church. Because we kept seeing how, that's not what the Bible says. I mean, they're given too much opinion in regards to what is written. And you just can't do that. You got to keep your opinion out of it. And this is why I like, I don't know if you've noticed on my site, whenever I share Bible scriptures, I don't just give locations for the Bible verse. I print the whole verse out. And then more often than not, I underline the section of the verse that, puts the point to rest. And that way no one could say it's my opinion. Because, boy, I used to get that a lot, especially on the street. And it works so much better if you just show them by the Bible verse and say, hey, look, I didn't write this book, although I am showing it to you, but I didn't write it. So the next one here is from the New York Times, same year, 1929, but now it's July 7th that this statement was made. And I don't know why it says July there and it says June on top. But anyway, it says, from 11 o'clock this morning, there was another sovereign independent state in the world. At that time, Premier Mussolini, as Italian foreign minister representing King Victor Emmanuel, the first Italian premier ever to cross the threshold of the Vatican, exchanged with Cardinal Gasparri, papal secretary of the state, representing Pope Pius IX, the 11th, ratifications of the treaty signed at the Lateran Palace on February 11th. which was mentioned in the previous article. By that simple act, the sovereign independent state of Vatican City came into existence. And so it was no longer just the Roman Catholic Church again. It was the Roman Catholic Church and Vatican City. Two different entities, a church and a state. Now, seeing how these reporters aren't ones to understand or even study prophecy, to claim the wound was healed in 1929 was a tad premature, as we'll go into a bit more detail in question number 23. As a matter of fact, I just did videos on this recently. So, but many know, but here's an interesting fact before moving on. Many know the devil always seeks to mock or counterfeit the truth in the Word of God relating to Christ and his ministry. For example, the virgin birth was counterfeited by the birth of Tammuz, the son of Nimrod, on December 25th. And so that's why people today think, and they mix it. It's just like with Catholicism even admits in a lot of their documentation that they adopted a lot of the paganism and just gave it Christian names. And without the people even realizing it, they started celebrating the birth of Tammuz on December 25th, but the Catholic Church says, oh, no, 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 that's Jesus, you know, and they fell for it. We fell for it, too. You know, I used to do Christmas, too. So you know, everybody fell for it. But have you ever noticed this? Jesus walked the earth exactly 3.5 years before being crucified for our sins. He then resurrected just as prophecy declared he would. The Antichrist walked about killing people for exactly 3.5 prophetic years, or 1,260 days, which was actually 1,260 years in reality. Satan's main man, the Pope, is then politically killed by Napoleon, and he even dies in exile, causing the Vatican to no longer be considered a political power on earth, but that Antichrist in Rome is also politically resurrected in 1929. And so the prophetic jurisprudence is no mistake here. They're actually trying to mock the death and resurrection of Christ with all this. So, question number 23. How popular did he become after that? You know, after the 1929, when they became a church and state again, you know, after the mortal wound was starting to get healed. Revelation 13, verses 3 and 4. It says, and I saw one of the heads of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who was like unto the beast, who was able to make war with him? I mean, look at it today. There's so many major friends connected to the Vatican now, no one can make war with them. At all. You've got no chance whatsoever. And think about it, these are just men. But they're in a collection, and they have this power, so there's really nothing you can do about it. Anyway, all throughout history, though, the Roman Catholic Church has appealed to the masses merely because sin is appealing to the lost, who happen to be the majority on the earth. So it's always been an easy row for them to hoe, you know. Most will say that Rome must be the true church because of its immense size. But look into the scriptures. One can see that size is a true giveaway that it is, in fact, evil. Case in point, all the world, the entire planet at that time, in Noah's day, you know, they all thought that Noah and his family were crazy. But as is apparent, only 8 people on the planet were walking with God at that time. So as always, the majority is most likely to be those that are friends with the world. Whenever the President of the United States would travel abroad, and check this out, there would be upwards of 1,000 or more journalists covering his every move. Okay, because we're more or less getting into the popularity of the Pope here, but I just throw that out there just for, you know, like illustration. But during an election, one can expect that number to double, especially on Inauguration Day, right? During wartime, it actually even triples. Now look at the Pope. It doesn't even matter what the occasion is. There is always a minimum. And I've checked into this, right? And this was actually, when I checked into this, was like about 20 years ago. But there's always a minimum of 15,000 to 20,000 journalists covering his every move. If the Pope so much as stubs his toe, people the world over are going to hear about it. All the world truly wonders after this beast. And the word wondered in verse 3 of Revelation 13 is translated as it's like thaumazo, I guess it's Greek. And it means to wonder or to wonder at or marvel, to be wondered at or to be in admiration. I mean, every popular magazine on earth has either openly stated that the Pope is an admirable man or a holy man of God. Time magazine back in 1981. I remember I got this DVD or a CD back then. It was nothing but Time magazine articles. For a while, a lot of the tracks that I was sharing with people had a lot of Time magazine articles in it because I had that CD. There wasn't no internet back then. But I remember this article, it actually said back in May of 1981, the headline was, or one of the authors said, when the Pope got shot, John Paul II, it said, it's like shooting God. Can you imagine? And then the article stated, shooting presidents, well, that's politics. That I can understand. But shooting the Pope, it's like shooting God. And that was May 25th, 1981. And the headline, or the article title was, it's like shooting God. And some guy named George J. Church. Gee, how ironic. He's the one who wrote the article. So it's bad enough for a man to believe that shooting another man is like shooting God, but to have a brazen disrespect for the lives of presidents who are assassinated merely because of their occupation is troubling to say the least. I mean, he says, yeah, well, that's going to happen. Like, kidding me? But a simple fact to notice is this. If the Pope were God, as he claims, to be in dozens upon dozens of authenticated Vatican quotes, then why, I ask, has it never been recorded in any history book whatsoever of a Pope raising a dead man, healing a blind man, a deaf man, a leper, or a cripple? How about a simple miracle as healing himself? I mean, how many popes have died since the beginning of the Roman Catholic Church? I mean, I thought they said they were God. And why is it they keep dying? And why is it no one seems to notice? In fact, why is it everyone missed it when John Paul II himself was unable to cast a demon out of a 19-year-old girl not too long ago during a Vatican Mass? This happened on September 12th, 2000. Headline is, Vatican Exorcism Fails. And it says, a British newspaper has reported an unusual encounter with the devil in the Vatican with Pope Paul II. Pope John Paul II, actually. Himself, attempting an exorcism of a possessed young woman. The Telegraph reported that the Pope carried out an impromptu exorcism on a teenage girl after she began screaming insults in a cavernous voice during an audience at the Vatican City. Despite the Pope's efforts and those of the chief Satan buster, they put it in italics, of course, and this is some priest by the name of Gabriel Amorth, the girl remained possessed. The devil's voice sneeringly laughed from within her at the Pope's failed attempt to drive him away, said the British newspaper. So this was made known globally. Still, Catholics stayed in the church. Their wonderment of this man in robes has them hypnotized. Adam Clark put it best regarding the popes when he said, they have assumed infallibility, which belongs only to God. They profess to forgive sins, which belongs only to God. They profess to open and shut heaven, which belongs only to God. They profess to be higher than all the kings of the earth, which, again, belongs only to God. And they go beyond God in pretending to loose whole nations from their oath of allegiance to their kings when such kings do not please them. And they go against God when they give indulgences for sin. This is the worst of all blasphemies. Even with all the obvious evils of this church, they still sport over 1.2 billion members worldwide. And all the mainstream media outlets wonder after him as their God by calling him Holy Father on camera millions of times a year. Antichrist must have, the term Holy Father is the term Jesus Christ gave to his Father while he was praying in John chapter 17. So for them to call the Pope Holy Father is to call the Pope God on earth. So Antichrist must have all in agreement either by choice, which is, of course, the forehead, or by force, which, prophetically speaking, is the right hand. Or his plans for global control are simply not going to work. The easy part, of course, is to get the masses in agreement that the Pope is a moral man. People are easily manipulated in mass numbers a lot easier than one-on-one. It's called the herd mentality. This is all regardless of the fact that not 30 or 40 years ago, all Protestant religions openly proclaimed him Antichrist. Today, not a single one, not even the Ninth Hour Church, calls him Antichrist anymore. As a matter of fact, they wrote articles declaring their defense for the Pope now, saying, stop calling him Antichrist, he's not that anymore. I got a video all about it. As a matter of fact, when you go to my YouTube page, that's the main video that shows up every time. So for those that don't quite believe all the Protestant churches call him Antichrist, I suggest surfing my page titled They Called Him Antichrist. As a matter of fact, I just finished a second video about it the other day. And I'm just going to make a few, because the first one I did a few days ago was called All Church Fathers or Forefathers Called Him Antichrist, and I started with the Methodist Church where John Wesley called him Antichrist. And then I put a quote up as to what the Methodist Church says today. Well, I just did it the other day with the Baptist Church. And I might do the... I don't know, maybe the Lutheran and Presbyterian. I'm even thinking of doing the Catholic Church. Hard to believe there's actually a couple of popes that called each other Antichrist at one time. And so and I got the quotes. So every single move of the pope is televised. Every single solitary one. And let's see. Where am I? Let's see, I'm going to skip down a little bit here with these articles that I got because we're running out of time here. And by the way, he actually started a One World Church in June 26, 2000 in the exact same hotel room that they started the One World, the United Nations. Yeah, One World Initiative, which, well, you got the One World Church Initiative in 2000 of June 26th in the hotel room. And then in 1948, or was it 46? I think it was 48 of June 26th again. In the exact same hotel room, they signed the papers for the UN. So, but I got an article on the one of my newsletters where it says, the headline is, churches agree that Pope has overall authority. They actually gave him that authority in the year 1999. And then in May of 1999, so back later on, a year later, they actually officially put it in writing. So if your church, well, that's the reason a lot of us are in here now, because the churches that we all used to be a part of that have become part of the national churches of America, as well as the global churches, the One World Church, and the Pope is the leader of it. But let me just share one more article here, and I'll close with this. And by the way, the popularity, I didn't put it in here in my notes, but I was thinking about, I might do it. I don't know. Let me just make a little note here. Let's see. I put add video of Pope. Oop. Yeah, of Pope. On, what was the name of that rock and roll? Oh, Rolling Stone magazine. Okay, on Rolling Stone magazine, because I just did a video about that a few months ago. So, but let me just share this. I better highlight that, otherwise I'll miss it. Because eventually this study is going to be on the website for anybody that needs it. Because I'm putting all my notes in it. And it's at 320 pages right now, and we're only at study number 23. And we got 33 to do, I think. But anyway, check this out. The headline is Clinton and Pope join Bilderberger's secret meeting of global movers, shakers in Portugal. And the article says, what do Steven Spielberg, Pope John Paul II, Ted Turner, Boris Yeltsin, Bill Clinton, and House Speaker Dennis Hassert have in common? They're among those on a partial guest list of expected attendees to the 1999 Bilderberger meeting in Portugal scheduled for next week. The secret meeting in Sintra, Portugal, takes place on June 3rd to the 6th, according to sources, which have penetrated the high security. Where they're going to emphasize a globalist agenda and promote the idea that the notion of national sovereignty is antiquated and regressive. In other words, one world government. So, yeah, it's easy to guess what they're up to. And can you guess what the Pope is, why he was there? Well, he's the one that called for the meeting, obviously. But can you guess why he was the only religious leader attending that meeting? Just like in the United Nations, there's only one religious entity, and that's the Vatican. Have you ever seen who's on this list? It appears every base is covered. Besides the obvious heads of state from all over the world that attended the global meeting, there's just a few that I found on the list to be a bit strange. And they only gave a partial list. And I put the partial list on my site. I got it from WorldNet Daily, and it's huge. What are these guys doing in a global meeting such as this? I mean, were Clinton and the Pope there to assure that their global desires were understood by all the people of the world? I mean, yeah, it's a no-brainer. And Clinton was trained in, politically trained and taught at Georgetown University, a Jesuit-owned and operated university. But like I said, I have a partial list of the names at the meeting on that one newsletter I did years ago. So, but check out just some of the companies that were present. I just list a few here. These are the CEOs that were present. You got, and a lot of these we don't even bother with, like Pepsi. I don't know of any one of us that drink this poison. But anyway, it says companies like Pepsi, Microsoft, Ford Motor Company, Bank of America, which is owned by Jesuits, by the way, IBM, Motorola, Merrill Lynch, GM, Time Warner, HP, all Hollywood producers, every one of them were there. Citicorp, Unisys, many scientists, Apple, even when he was alive, Stephen Jobs was there. Goldman Sachs, Dell, AOL, and many Wall Street financiers, just to name a few. They had this meeting with the Pope so as to have a way to control our everyday lives. The prophecy says they have to control buying and selling. And that meeting with the CEOs of every item man can sell or buy on the planet, as well as every political or entity or politician capable of passing the laws they need to assure that they will be able to enforce the Mark of the Beast, they were all there that day. And now we see what's happening in America now. We see all the strange things that are going on around the world, and they're testing the waters with these so-called Ebola viruses and stuff like that. I really hope and pray that you got your house ready. With that, I say, hope you were blessed. Be back in a minute.